recording here, and we will begin. All right. Jerry, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, just confirming and letting everybody know we're live online here, and it's myself, Jennifer Hadley, and Jerry Stefaniak, and we are going to get into all your questions about starting a study group, leading a study group, and that's our focus of this call, so any questions related to that, we'll take them, and we're going to do that right after I say a prayer and a blessing just to get us started off, because I always like to begin everything in a field of prayer. So I invite you all to place your hand on your heart and take that breath of love and gratitude with me as we consciously partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self. We're grateful and thankful to join together right now for the holy purpose of supporting anyone who might be resistant or reluctant to starting a study group, anyone who's interested in starting a study group and would like support. We're joining together so that we can all live the love with more ease, more grace in community. So we're consciously intending to experience the oneness in a more powerful and more beautiful way through joining together right now. What I know is that our coming together in this way and sharing questions and answers is deeply healing and nourishing for all of us. And we share the benefits of that with everyone because we're one with them. In grace and in gratitude, we let it be. And so it is. Amen. 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 Beautiful. So I want to start, Jerry, with just asking you to tell everyone a little bit about your history as a study group leader and sharing, teaching okay. about A Course in Miracles, something that they might find really helpful, and also how can they find you in case they're in your area?
Okay. I'm based in the Houston area. Teach Course in Miracles classes out of Unity Church in Houston, Howard Caesar's church. I've been doing Course in Miracles classes. I'm going on my 21st year of teaching a weekly class. I do about 80 to 90 minute classes every week. And been doing it it's been a lot of fun. I got into the Course in Miracles, 25 some years ago, when a girlfriend gave me the book, and I became kind of interested in it. And then I put it on a shelf, like many people did, for a couple of years, and then I got some more training and learned, and then I began to realize what the Course was saying. And throughout the years, it has just been a joy teaching. I really feel that it really helps teachers if they really like, if they're doing it for fun. It should not be a task. It should not be something you need to do or to make yourself be better. And at least that's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I have learned about the Course for B is how much the students have taught me about the Course.
Oh yeah.
So you know, when you can remember when you're teaching these things that a teacher and student constantly change places, you know, and it's very, very helpful to not think you have to know the answers. You know, just be open to your students and be open to God and guidance. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful trip. So, yeah, I'm based in Houston, and let's see. Anything else I could add? Can you think of?
Yeah, well, I'll ask you again at the end, but where's the website where people can find you?
Yeah, my website is www.com. And I'll say it and I'll spell it. It's just innerawakenings.org. That's innerawakenings.org. Innerawakenings.org. And I have not only, you know, stuff about me, but there's also, you could download talks and some videos that I've done. So So all my talks that I've done, you can download them. Not my Course in Miracles classes. These are talks that are presented at churches. And they're quite good, if I must say so. And just, you know, other resources. Yeah, toot my horn here. So, yeah, that's how you could locate me. And I'm in Houston. So anyone who hears this and wants to connect with me, I'd love to talk with you guys or come to my class and introduce yourself. We have new people every week in the class. Should I get into the classes or you want to just hold off?
Yeah, because we're going to focus on supporting the study group leaders.
Certainly. Okay,
in
cool.
Starting study groups. And also, the purpose of these calls, twofold, to help people who already have started a study group and they'd like to find ways to expand it, to be better leaders, that kind of thing, better facilitators. And then the other purpose of our calls, and this is our second one, so the first one from the month of June 2013 is in the archive already. So people who are just coming to this call for the first time, you can get last month's call, which was excellent, with Corinne Esnault from St. Louis, who's been leading study group for, I forget now, 12 years, 20 years, quite some time. And the other purpose is to inspire, motivate, support people who are interested in starting a study group and would like to learn more about what's involved and how to do it in a really good way. I also would like to say we're just starting, just right now today, we're starting our Facebook group. Jerry, I know you're not a Facebook person, but for those of you who are Facebook group people, you can join our Facebook group. It's a closed group for study group leaders, but anyone is welcome to ask to join. And it's a Course in Miracles Study Group Leaders. Not a complicated title. So just look for Course in Miracles Study Group Leaders at Facebook. And then the purpose there is so that established study group leaders can join that Facebook group. People who'd like to be starting a study group can get in there and ask questions of people who are already study group leaders. So it's a way for the community to mentor itself. And, you know, these things just take a little bit of organizing. That's what I'm good at. So that's what we're offering at LivingACourseOfMiracles.com is resources for people who would like to support other people and themselves studying A Course in Miracles in a way where they're really living it and joining together and creating community. So that said, I say let's go right to the questions. So if you're online listening, or rather if you're on the phone, you can press star 2 to raise your hand and ask a question for study group support question, and then I have some questions that are written in. So I'm going to start with the questions that are written in, and then we'll go back to anybody who's raising their hand. So star 2 to raise your hand, and online you can type in a question in the box that's provided there. So we've got Lynn is writing in, and she says, Lynn from Arkansas, she says, hello, prospective Christian members of the group have said that their knowledge of the Course give them the impression that Jesus is not given proper respect in the teachings. How should I address this comment? Thank you so much for this opportunity. So the question is, Christian members of the group have said that their understanding of the Course gave them the impression that Jesus is not given proper respect in the teachings. I have never heard that before.
Right.
But then,
that's a really good question.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but yeah, I've never heard of that one because it's the voice of Jesus speaking. So I have a hard time. You know, as I remember, I mean, from the Course, I mean, Jesus talks about which for personally for me I absolutely adore, that he says, you know, I deserve no more worship or awe only God deserves worship and awe, but I deserve respect as an elder brother.
Exactly.
And so, you know, I've gone along further down the road. I'm a little bit maybe further down the road, but as he constantly says throughout the course, you and I are the same, and what I have done, you will do. And so I personally think that's the highest respect we can give Jesus. He's basically saying, in my opinion, that he's not asking for honor or respect. I think he wants us to realize that we are all the same, and he wants us where he is. One of my favorite quotes of his, I'm paraphrasing a lot here, so please forgive me. I do that a lot. But he says basically, I know who you are, and as long as you want to stay where you want to be, I will merely wait until you change your mind. You know, so he doesn't lower himself to our level. He just says, I know where you can go. I know who you are. And as you go through your process, you know, if you want to go through your ego and all, I will just sit here and wait for you. So I don't know if that answers the question at all. I probably dodged it well, but that's okay. But I've never thought about the Course as far as giving him respect. I think, you know, as far as I'm concerned, actually originally, I'll tell you my personal truth. Originally, I had a problem with it when I heard it was Jesus' voice. You know, I went, oh, God, you know. But when I began to read it, I began to realize it doesn't matter whose voice this is. This language is touching my soul.
Yeah. You know?
And so that's what became the basis. And then for me, personally for me, I'll tell you my personal journey, is when I read chapter 6, The Message of the Crucifixion. To me, it was the first time in my life that the crucifixion made sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And I was, you know, I was a second grader, 7 years old in school when they were talking about, you know, he died for my sins because I'm a guilty little boy. And it didn't make sense. And that just made me feel rotten. And when I read chapter 6 and I read the message of the crucifixion and what it meant and why he did it, it totally made sense. So I would tell people read chapter 6 because he actually a couple times correct some things, you know, that were misrepresented about him. So, but as far as giving him respect or whatever, I don't know. That's, you know, like I say, that's a good question, but I don't know what else to say about that because it's his voice.
Well, you know, it's a very interesting question.
Yeah.
And
yeah, very.
I agree with what you said, that I would quote the part where he says about being an elder brother, and I don't remember exactly where that is. Do you?
Boy, it's I think it's actually very, it's in the first chapter. I think it's actually in the second section.
Yeah, pretty early.
Right after the 50 principles.
Yeah. I'm going to see if I can grab my book here and look that up. Now, the other thing I would say is, this is what I would do if it were me. I would say to the person who said that, what do you think that giving Jesus his proper due would look like?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So what would that look like?
Yeah. I think so.
And then I think another thing I would say is I would say something like, you know, that's an excellent question, and I would say, well, what do you think proper respect would look like? Because the teachings are 100% the channeling of Jesus, so.
Right.
It was,
right.
And my understanding is, everything about it was done in the way that Jesus dictated and indicated. So I don't think that, you know, like, I don't know, Jesus didn't say, can you put a picture of me on the cover?
Right. And here, put my name, make certain my name is in bold, gold on the cover too. You know.
So, and so I would say, well, that's such an interesting question. I wonder what you think proper respect would look like, and why do you think, since Jesus gave them all the instructions of how to put it together and everything about it, why do you think that Jesus had them do it this way?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And who is asking about the proper respect? Wouldn't proper respect be related to the ego?
Well, I was just going to say something about that, like, because I think you're right on the right point about, you know, I would ask the person, what do you think it should look like? And what do you think Jesus would gain by giving him proper respect?
Yeah.
What do you think he's going to get out of this? Okay, so just to find out, you know, because I have to tell you the truth. Like I say, as you well know, you know, doing the Course in Miracles is very ego-threatening. And I'm amazed after, you know, doing the Course for 25-some years, the stuff that still comes up. But I'm also joy-filled because every time something comes up, I realize it's one less thing now I had between me and God. So, you know, whereas 5-10 years ago I got really upset when I found myself still judging or still getting angry, now I kind of go, that's cool. I didn't know that was down there, that this person said this word and I'm in my ego. And so I can work on that. I can't work on something I'm not aware of. So, the Course is very ego-threatening. And so I would ask, because Jesus doesn't have an ego. So it's, I don't know what would look like proper respect. Because I personally, I feel the whole book is his words and his teachings to us. So it's total respect.
Yeah.
In fact, you know what I would say would be proper respect would be do the workbook lessons. That would be
for
respect
sure
for his word.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Quick and dirty. And the part where Jesus is saying, "There's nothing about me that you cannot attain. I have nothing that does not come from God." That is, as you said, it's right after the 50 miracle principles in chapter one there.
Right.
So I think I would just open it right to that and say, well, this is what Jesus is saying here. So maybe because that's what he believes, he's telling us not to put the focus on him, but to put the focus on God. And they're really good at answer, Jerry. Let's see. I want to thank Lynn for that question. And then we have Sarah, who's asking, how do you keep your group focused and on topic?
Well, I have had classes where I covered one sentence because the group went all over the place, but we had a blast because I love questions. I'm more interested in the students understanding how to apply the course versus knowing what the course is. That's my focus is,
me
the
too.
Words and all, you know. And so I'm more interested in if someone has a problem. I mean, we don't do therapy. But if someone has a question or something, you know, I'm more interested in how to apply this and then go back to the course and here's what the course says and how can you apply this rather than teaching a class per night.
Mm-hmm.
But most of my classes are designed as a class. I'm going, I will cover, a section or a couple pages of the course. What I do is I just found it's easier. I just go from chapter to chapter, and then I go into the workbook. I do a 3-week overview of the workbook, and then I go into the teacher's manual. Then I start over. And in 21 years, we're going into our third overview of the whole set. And I'll just cover, a section, and, I'll read to them, and, read and then interpret. And then I always have questions. which I love, and which I learn from too, and how to keep them on focus. There, I think in the 21 years I've been doing this, I think only once or twice in a class that I have to kind of say, okay, that's enough, you know, because most people want to get back to, you know, learning about it and how to use it. So how to keep them on focus.
You know, what comes into my mind is because I ran a study group on the phone for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
We met every Monday night for 4 years, and people can still get those audios, a lot of them, maybe 100 of them or so, at iTunes for free. And the name of our study group was Masterful Living Through a Course in Miracles. And it's probably the easiest way is to just search for me, Jennifer Hadley, at iTunes. And everything is, that I have at iTunes is free, so all the Course in Miracles stuff will come up. But I didn't try to keep people on a topic. So here's what my approach was. I would bring something that inspired me, read from the book, and speak a little bit about it, and then open it up for questions. And I really did consider myself the leader, someone who is teaching. And but I also, I didn't care what we talked about. I didn't need to stay focused on the topic. Because to me, the topic was living A Course in Miracles and becoming masterful through living A Course in Miracles. That was our topic. So I understand that in your study group, you might want to say, okay, today our topic is going to be cause and effect or the atonement or something like that. Or the topic is I'm never upset for the reason I think. And that's perfectly understandable. So for me, one approach is to come to the class or the call or the meeting, whatever you're doing, where you have already focused in. Your intention is very strong. You're tuned up with what I call the higher Holy Spirit self. And so you're the instrument, you're the vessel, you have no attachment, and yet you have a high intention that everybody who's participating in the group will be profoundly transformed by the dialogue.
Right. Yeah, and like I say, when I, you know, I'll have an idea of what I'm teaching that night, because, you know, I'll read the text or whatever, and I've got my stuff, my notes and my underlines and all. But I've had literally before the class, what I do every class is I set up a prayer up to God, to Jesus, and then I let the class go, and I say this is how I think it may occur, but it's in your hands. And so there are times, you know, I may cover what I wanted to cover, and the thing that I've really learned is do not get invested in covering anything.
Yeah.
As I say, the only thing I'm invested in the class is I want the students to come away with something that helps them. I don't care for them to hear what I think they need to hear. I want them to hear what they need to hear.
Beautifully
so
said.
I'm really more interested in hearing, you know, okay, I'm bringing up the topic of cause and effect, or I'm bringing up the topic of, you know, we create a reality, whatever it is. And I'm more invested in helping them to understand how this works in their lives, not just as a nice little spiritual concept, but it literally works in their lives.
Yeah.
And to help them see that. And so that's what. So yeah, we've laughed sometimes where, you know, we covered one sentence. You know, I opened up with the sentence, started reading, and then things came up, and we had a very lively, wonderful night. You know, and other nights, you know, but I have no investment in either, you know, once I start the class, I kind of turn it over to God, and I just say, okay, now it's in your hands, let it go how it should go. And I've never failed to feel like it was the right thing to do, you know, but it does help to have, I feel, you know, personally, as you said, it helps to, you know, that you are the leader, you know. It helps to have some idea where you think you're going, just so you have some structure. At least I find that helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But then throw it away. You know, if it needs to be thrown away, you're going, oh, my God, wait a minute, this whole thing changed, and now we're into a totally different subject. Why? Great, go with it. You know, support them. And what I do a lot also is I try to draw out the students as far as, well, what do you think this means?
Mm-hmm.
Versus me being up there sitting on top of the mountain dispensing, you know, knowledge. You know, it's more like, okay, what do you think it means? You know, I'll tell you my impressions in a minute, but what do you think? And maybe another student will say, here's what I think, and I'll be amazed at what that student said. I'll go, my God, I never thought of it that way. You know, so I've had so many times where students answer students' questions that just blew me away. So.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that comes into my mind as you're speaking, Jerry, is that each study group is going to be different.
Right.
So, because it's people come with different personalities and different backgrounds, and all kinds of things are going to play into it. And
right. So
one thing that is helpful is for the organizer, the facilitator, the key people who are feeling a ownership of the group or a commitment to the group, that you decide what it is you would like to receive and what you'd like to share, what you'd like to have, what you'd like to bring forth. So for
very
me,
important.
With the one that I did on the phone, I was very interested in having a dialogue about the teachings in terms of a practical application.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I was not so interested in trying to understand what the book meant, because I was not confused about what the book meant. I was interested in understanding the nitty-gritty of how we apply it to every minute of our day. And so I was interested in those kinds of conversations and questions. Now, there are plenty of groups where they want to talk about understanding what it means.
Right, yeah.
And so that's a different conversation. Some people simply want to read it together.
Yeah.
It becomes their time of studying it and just reading it, really, versus talking about it. So what's the purpose of your study group? I think really throwing it open and then having an agreement about that becomes an underlying focus and intention. One of the things that I came through last month, which totally unexpected, was to have create like a mission statement or an intention statement, and even to create a credo for the group, things that you can read at the beginning, and then you're anchored in that.
Yeah. Well,
having
you know,
a prayer at the beginning too. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, where my study groups come in, it's more like I say, when I started teaching the course 20 some years ago, I started doing like open topics. But I realized very quickly, at least in my opinion, there's basically only about 6 or 8 real topics per se. And so, in my opinion. So
mm-hmm.
That's when I got into, well, I'm going to start with chapter one and start, you know, just kind of go through, you know, not read every word, but kind of go through. And then chapter two. And for my group, like I said, I have every Monday around, say, 30 to 60 people. Every Monday, and we generally have 2 to 3 new people every week showing up. So
nice.
they may be coming in the middle of chapter 30, you know. And I will tell people who call, I says, you know, come, sit in the group, don't even get the books, you know, sit, listen, hear. This speaks to you, you know, come back. If it keeps speaking to you, you might want to buy the books, you know. So like I say, I'm more interested because I have found it doesn't matter if I'm in chapter 14 or talking about special relationships or holy relationships or forgiveness. It doesn't matter part of the book I'm in and this person walks in, I find that very quickly they will start relating to something. And,
right.
And so for me, doing it this way, like chapter by chapter, personally, it kind of gives the class kind of like a structure. The students know next week we'll be covering something in chapter 14, you know, and then next week we're going to be halfway through 14 or whatever. It kind of gives them some sort of structure, but I've never seen the, let me put it this way, I've never seen the topic, whatever we thought we were going to talk about, interfere with what really needed to be talked about that night. You know, so if someone was in pain or someone was going through something, it came up. So I began to, that's my little structure that I found helpful. And it kind of, I think it helps the students to kind of think, oh, okay, Jerry just finished this section. Probably next week he'll probably do the next section or the other section or one of these two. So they can read up if they want, if they feel like. But we have new people every week. You know, I don't have any commitment. I don't ask people, you have to do this or whatever. I just come in and see if you like it. And, you know, we've had lots of people who just keep coming back, you know. And like I say, the whole purpose is I have found it doesn't matter where you are in the book. The Holy Spirit's going to run the show, you know. And suddenly you think you're going to talk about forgiveness tonight, and you're suddenly talking about holy relationships. And then you go, well, that's forgiveness too. And, you know, you start realizing, you know, and so it all interrelates. So I've never found myself at a loss as far as, you know, just helping people. Like I say, I'm really more interested. The structure is actually more for me. It gives me the illusion that I think I know what I'm doing. But I also know that once I start the class off, I also start with a prayer. You know, something, can I tell you just briefly how I do the class?
Yeah.
Would that help? I mean, yeah. You know, yeah, we always start with a prayer. And I have done this of one of my students that I helped her start a group. She came up with this idea, which I absolutely love. So every class, I ask for a volunteer to read the introduction to the class. So a volunteer comes up and reads the introduction. So it gets me off the stage, gets them involved, you know. And I may take a sentence or two from the introduction about explaining briefly what a miracle is and stuff like that. And then I always do something what I call a barrier buster exercise. And basically it's an affirmation. I have them look at, you know, go up to three people, look them in the eyes and say an affirmation. It may be, you know, I am among the ministers of God. Or God himself is incomplete without me. And I'll have them do it, three people and sit down and say, how did that feel? You know. So I call them barrier buster exercises. And that gets the class, it gets everybody out of their seats. They're laughing, they're talking, they're joking. Then they're sitting down, and it really settles the class down, and it gets their minds engaged. And then I'll ask if there's any questions before we start tonight's class, and then we're off and running. You know,
nice.
Sometimes, like I say, I get one sentence, and that's the last sentence that was covered because everything else is being covered. Or I may cover three paragraphs or whatever. But there's no investment in what's covered. So that's kind of what I do. I find it, you know, having someone come up to read the introduction kind of gets their minds, and especially new people. You know, this is a course in miracles. It is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. To hear that the first time, I go, wow, you know, it's voluntary. It's, you know, I have a choice, and I think that helps.
Yeah,
and getting the students involved, you know, it's nice. I step aside, so I'm no longer the big cheese. I have somebody else standing, and I feel it's a wonderful way of sharing the teacher-student relationship with the class.
I love that.
So it's not like. And there are many times when someone asks a question, and I'll just say, you know, does anyone in the class have any idea how to answer that question?
Oh yeah.
And like I say, And you know this one. You get stunned with the wisdom that is out there.
Yeah.
Go, my God, I'm glad I got that on tape. I record these things. I'm glad I got that on tape. You know, I'll play it back and listen to their answer because that's a good answer, you know.
I am so glad that you said that, Jerry, because one of the things that prevents many people from starting a Course in Miracles study group is they think they have to have all the answers. You can just have bought the book last weekend and start a study group.
Exactly.
Honest to God.
No, that's how I was. I was in a training back, actually, when I got my training in Seattle, and we had bought the books, and our teacher said, oh, by the way, next week you're all starting Course in Miracles study groups. And we went, we haven't even read the book. He said, I know, but you'll be starting Course in Miracles study groups. You know, and that's the best, I mean, because and what I realized, my personal reason for doing Course in Miracles study groups, my personal reason is it forces me at least, I mean, I read the course every day, but at least once a week, I know I'm going to have to open the book.
Yeah.
You know, and so for me, it's a discipline of also learning, because I have learned tons, you know, just by standing up in front of class and saying, you know what, I don't have an answer to that question. Does anyone here have an answer? And if no one did, there's tons of sites. There's Ken Wobnick sites, and the Circle of Atonement, the John Mundy, lots of people you can call and say, God, I got this question in the course, and do you have an answer? And come back the following week and say, here's what Ken Wobnick says, or here's what, you know. And so you're not out there alone, and it's absolutely nothing wrong. I think it's wonderful for a teacher to say, you know, that's a good question. I don't know how to answer that, you know. And, I mean, and, you know, a lot of people, you know, in my classes, this is my style. It doesn't have to be everyone's style, but my style is I let my students know what's going on with me. So, you know, as you know, Jennifer, you know, my wife passed 5 months ago from cancer, and
yeah.
They knew about it. They knew.
Yeah.
I said, you want to know what A Course in Miracles, how it's applied? Watch. And you'll see me get angry. You'll see me get sad. You'll see me go through this stuff. I said, this is living the course. It's not about suppressing this stuff. It's about bringing it to the light and healing it and, you know, and forgiving yourself and others. And they like that style. So I just go with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel it helps me because, you know, I'm a very feeling person, and I can't stand in front of a class and act as if I know it all when my heart is falling apart. So it's really nice sometimes just to say, you know, I had a very bad day today. You don't need to know what it is. Just pray for me, and I'm going through some stuff. And it's wonderful. And then I feel suddenly, right, okay, the class is starting and we're off and running. And that's my style. That's my style.
Yeah, I really appreciate your sharing that you were just thrown into the pond and said,
yeah.
Oh, you're going to swim. And
yeah.
Because it's a great example that Spirit will work through you. And it's your spirit working through you. It's your true identity working through you. And you have everything you need. And, again, it's also about what I'm hearing you say, Jerry, is you come with a pure intention. And
yes.
That purity will be met by like-minded individuals. I know when I started out leading things and facilitating things, I had, you know, ego ideas about how things should be. And of course, I was taught I was taught to let that go,
right.
that would only get in my way, and that I couldn't be truly helpful as long as I was attached to that. So
yeah.
these calls and the Course in Miracles Study Group Leader Facebook group are to support people in having the courage to just throw yourself in the pond, and the curriculum's already there. You don't have to know how to do it. All of that will be provided for you if you just simply say yes. Saying yes is 99% of it.
Yes, and I think it's really, really helpful as a teacher to be selfish and say, I'm doing this for me. You know, I'm doing it because I want to learn the course. I want to learn the course more because I realized the best way to learn the course was to teach it.
Absolutely.
And over time, it's like, but there's nothing wrong with being selfish and saying, you know, I'm doing this for me. And I've told my students this. I said, you know, when it gets to a point when it feels like sacrifice or this is a job or it's work, I'm going to have to stop. I says, you know, because at that point, you know, But it's been 21 years, and so far it's been just a hoot. You know, I look forward to standing in front of them and just, I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth. I don't know what's going to come out of their mouth. You know, I don't know if it's going to be I've had classes where literally I end up at the end of the class sweating. You know, they worked me really hard. And we all laugh. It's, man, you guys worked me hard tonight, you know, with whatever it is, you know, because our egos get involved. But what better way to work out your stuff but, you know, in front of other people and just be honest and humble and, you know, but do it, yeah, I would say do it for you. As long as you're getting a benefit, because, you know, as the Course says, God does not want us to sacrifice. So it's not about teaching the Course because it's the right thing or people are asking me to and I really don't want out, but there's a need. No, it's you feel like, God, this might be fun, you know, and maybe just commit for 6 months. Hey, I'm going to do this for 6 months and see how it feels, you know, and then see, you know.
You bring up another really excellent and invaluable point, Jerry, which is that chances are you're going to get triggered, your stuff is going to come up, the same is going to be true for other people in the group,
mm-hmm.
and to take the point of view that this is for my healing, and when you get triggered,
right.
when other people get triggered, to be able
right.
to have a strategy for that. And one of the things is to be able to take a breath and
yes.
to say, this is for my healing.
Yes. Oh, my
this
God,
This
is yes.
for my healing. And I'm grateful for my healing.
Yeah. Oh,
and then to call upon the higher Holy Spirit self, call upon Jesus and say, we need a little help here.
Yeah. Yeah,
help
and
us see this
in
correctly.
Front of the class even say, you know,
exactly.
I mean, yeah, I've had times when someone will say something and I kind of go, ugh, you're right. Okay, let's take a look at that. And people just laugh. I says, okay, well, this is a class on forgiveness. I hope you can forgive me.
<You
know? laughs> And we just, yeah, we all kind of laugh and get back into looking at it. But see, I was that committed to learning the Course and living the Course. And if it
yeah.
meant sometimes looking like a fool or sometimes looking like I didn't know what I was talking about, well, so be it. But those times I found were very few. In fact, I've had classes where I come out of the class going, God, I came across as a total idiot. I didn't know what I was talking about. And a week later, someone says, you know, that was the best class you've taught in a long time. You were really honest and you were really, and I go, geez, and I thought I was totally gone. And that's when I know that the Holy Spirit was at work. And so the other thing I've learned about being a teacher is to not to judge each class. Like, that was a good class and this was a bad class, because I found out classes that I thought were great. What is that line that Jesus says in the Course? Times that you thought you made the most progress, you actually push yourself back to first, the worst, and the times when you thought you were most behind, you actually went further than you thought. I'm paraphrasing, you know.
Right. It's we have to recognize that we can't always assess these things, so we just let that assessment
right.
go.
Right, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I feel like there's a follow-up question in here, and I want to also just remind people, if you're listening on the phone, you can press *2 on your keypad to join in the discussion, to ask a question, or join in if you've got some of your own experiences to share. And then, of course, you can type in questions online as well. So you've got both those options, *2 to raise your hand. And I also want to mention, if anybody is listening to this later in the archive, you can call in on Skype. It's totally free, so you can call in from anywhere in the world on Skype, which is great. This call happens to be in the evening, so probably not that many people up in the middle of the night in Europe, but sometimes we get folks from down under and whatnot. I just wanted to mention that. *2, if you're on the phone, you want to raise your hand and jump in here with a question or a comment. Jerry, you've been doing this so long. Have you had experiences where people got into arguments and fights and Anything like that?
Yeah, we've got not fights, arguments, you know, or disagreements. There comes a time when, you know, which is good to be the leader, to say, okay, we're going to have to defer this, or we're going to have to talk about this later, or whatever. The thing that I have been very, very, very clear when I'm teaching the course is I tell them I'm really not interested in getting the theological discussions and debates around Catholicism versus Course in Miracles versus unity versus, you know, I'm really not interested because it's just a bunch of mind chatter. I said, if you want to sit with me and have coffee later on, we could talk about it. I said, but it's just, you know, it is not my intention to change your beliefs or change, you know, is my intention to help you. And so it's not my intention to get you to like or understand, to like or love the Course in Miracles. It's if you're interested in using this tool, how could I help you? And if you want to, you know, I'm not interested in changing your religions or anything of that. And so, yeah, I've had a couple times where people got into arguments, but I have to tell you, a lot of times it ends up being semantics.
Yeah.
You know, I think this means this. Well, I think it means that. I go, well, we can go forever on this. So how about if you go with your belief and I'll go with my belief and we'll just see, and maybe someone will get an idea. And the nice thing is invariably someone in the class will say, you know, you could take it this way, and they take it a third way, and suddenly we're both looking at each other going, hey, that works too. So.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yep, that's a really good example about how to handle that kind of thing. We have someone who raised their hand on the phone in Santa Rosa. I'm going to unmute you. Hey there.
Hi, this is Natalie.
Hey, Natalie.
Hi.
Hi, Natalie.
Hi, I've just been getting the inkling from Spirit to form a group, and I hear you guys, I love what you're saying about your intention of what you want, what approach you want to take with the content. And I'm just wondering about, you know, the meaning versus the living for new people who've never read it. You know, I have a friend who hasn't even picked up the text at all, and I felt, oh, gosh, I thought it might be nice to have our own experience with the text, you know, so Spirit could work through her first time, you know, through her first time, and then we could sit in a group. So how do you get past the meaning, you know, how do you get past not, I mean, when do you discuss? There are some really important concepts that people need to understand, you know, about how we got here, I think, in order to be able to live it. Or am I not accurate on that?
When people ask me, what is the Course in Miracles and all this, you know, all this stuff. Yeah, there's lots of things. I mean, you know, we talk about, you know, the world, is it a reality, is it an illusion, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I really stress this in the class. I say, look, I said, you're going to burn out a whole bunch of brain cells trying to figure out, is this live or is this an illusion or what's it real? And,
yeah.
You know, all, because I said, it's nice. Yeah, I said, I burned out a ton of brain cells doing that, you know. But what the course is teaching basically is are you, you know, if people want to know exactly what you were starting, it's asking, are you willing to change your mind? Are you willing to change how you see the world? And that's why forgiveness is such a giant part of it. In fact, that's all it is, as far as I'm concerned. Because it's the ultimate miracle. It's the ultimate change of perception. I hated you 10 years ago, and now you're my best friend.
Yeah.
And what happened, I performed a miracle. I see you differently than I did 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so I start with that concept is you know, how willing are you to change your mind about everything that you think is important to you? Because you're going to go nuts. And like I say, I have new people coming in the middle of chapter 15, and we're talking about the world as an illusion. You could see them going nuts, and I'll just say, look, you know, don't worry about whether it's live or Memorex. The truth is, it feels very real to you.
Right.
And that's all you need to do. And I said, and Jesus never says, oh, it's just an illusion, let it go. He never says that. He just wants us to realize that maybe there's another way of looking at, you know, the world.
Yeah.
And the best example I give, like the illusion thing, is I'll say, you know, how many times have you gone to a movie with three friends and you saw three different movies?
Right.
You know,
right.
So what was
right.
the real movie? And I said, and life is the same way. So we don't mm-hmm. know what's really going on. And so that helps.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
but
great.
I would say the basic thing I start with is tell them that, it's going to ask you, are you willing to change how you think you see the world?
Right.
And
right.
forgiveness is a big part. Now, if someone doesn't want to work on it, I can understand it. You know, I got
yeah.
issues with so-and-so, and I don't want to let it go. I totally understand.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But then I ask, okay. would you be willing maybe to let this go? Maybe in 500 years or 1,000
yeah.
years. Would you be willing to let this person off the hook? And when they go, well, maybe in 1,000 years, and they go, now you're on your path.
That's cool. Because
time isn't real.
Right.
So the Spirit says, oh, it's done. In 1,000 years, it's done. Okay.
Yeah.
And now the Holy Spirit can come in and say, would you like to make it 500 years?
Yeah.
Would you like to make
yeah.
it 100 years? You know, and you right. begin to start seeing, but it takes that willingness. So when you get a
okay.
student who's willing to say, I'm speaking from personal experience. I had to go through two divorces and my next relationship breaking up before I began to realize that I was the problem in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Not my
mm-hmm.
wives, not my jobs, not my bosses. I was the common denominator in every problem I had.
Yeah.
And at that point,
yeah.
I realized I could change me. I can't
right.
change that. And so, but I had to change how I saw myself.
Right.
So that's a thumbnail sketch.
Yeah.
Of
no,
how
that's
I kind
great.
Of get people started.
That's great. Yeah.
You know?
That's much more broader, and it's just working with perception. They don't have to understand all those, you know.
Yeah.
The technical stuff. Yeah. So that is
yeah.
very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, because there's tons of stuff that was just kind of
yeah,
what?
Yeah, keep going
what?
On. right. And the thing is, you know, I believe it because I trust the content and I trust its source,
right.
you know. But
right.
there is no proof, you know. So
right.
yeah, you can
yeah,
go on
right.
and on and on about it, you know. So
yeah.
thank you. Yeah, I could have got real trapped in that. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, good question.
Thank you, Natalie. That was great.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you can star 2 again to raise your hand if you want to ask another question. And let's see. We've got Tonya who's saying, she's asking this question. I think it's a great one. She says, what are your thoughts on a Google Hangout for a study group? We have such great technology. I'm thinking it's a new way of spreading love and miracles. Thoughts, ideas? So, Jerry, you're not on Facebook. You're probably not on Google Hangout.
Nope, not yet. I guess I may be. I'm a computer programmer. I've been working in this field for 40 years, and I haven't done Facebook yet or Google Hangout. Maybe I need to get in the times. But, I think that's an excellent idea. But once again, I would stress that somebody needs to be a moderator. And I'm speaking just from what I've gone to some websites and seen what happens. And it helps. Somebody needs to, because I'm sorry to say, but I've seen it sometimes where since people are not talking to each other, it's just over the internet. Sometimes I've seen it where it can get kind of weird, I'll tell you. You know,
mm-hmm.
Sorry if I sound a little pessimistic here, but I think you need a strong, like if you're going to run it, you need a strong person to say, okay, wait a minute, this thread here is going into judgment, going into whatever. We need to take a look at this or whatever.
Yeah, so it needs a moderator.
Yeah, you need a good moderator. But as far as using the technology, I think it's fantastic to get people to talk and share, and I think it's just great. You know, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I haven't used the Google Hangout, but it to me it's for those of you who have no clue what we're talking about, it's kind of like group texting,
yeah.
Where you can have a conversation and add images and links and things like that, and you can invite people to the conversation and. What it made me think of, Tanya, is the disappearance of the Universe Yahoo group.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to participate in that a little bit, and that's where people are dialoguing really about online about teachings, asking questions, and people are answering and sharing their experiences. Now, I haven't been in that group in a long time. I should ask Gary about it. I'm having dinner with him tonight, so I could ask him what's happening in the group these days. But I know Yahoo groups have kind of gone out of fashion. Now people are in Facebook groups. And one of the things I like about a Facebook group is that if someone asks a question in a Facebook group, it's easy to follow the thread of that particular thought. Whereas I just wonder, in a Google Hangout, might it be that people would kind of bounce around, and it might be more challenging to follow the thread of the conversation. But you know what I would say is, you could even do this in any of the A Course in Miracles Facebook groups, is say, does anybody want to have a Google Hangout and talk about this particular teaching or topic? The one of the Facebook groups that's really very active is the ACIM NTI group, NTI New Thought International, and that's run by Dove Fishman, who is awesome, and that group is extremely active, really great. So, yeah, I love making use of the technology, Tanya, you know that, but I've never used the that Google feature. I'm not so much a Google person, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, but and, you know, personally, I think all these tools, we have so many tools now to use, and I think they're all just wonderful and can be used to get people to understand things and to open up to new ideas. So I think I personally think they're all great, but I've also seen some sites that just get pretty nasty sometimes, because people aren't sitting face to face, and you say a wrong word or someone takes something the wrong way, and you need a strong moderator. You need somebody to watch it and say, okay, guys, we're getting off track here. And, I haven't felt the need to want to run one of those right now.
So,
I feel my weekly 90-minute group is good enough.
Yeah. Hey, there's a question. 90 minutes. You've been doing this for a while, and I know there's quite a few groups that go for 90 minutes. When I did my group on the phone, I used to go for longer and then changed it to an hour. So, and of course, it's different when you're in person. We were on the phone. But you feel like that 90 minutes is the ideal time?
Oh, geez, no. I mean, I think if there's a Course in Miracles group that meets for 30 minutes and they get together and they join with God and join with each other and they heal, my God, there is no optimum. I find for me 90 minutes works perfect for me to say a prayer, do some stuff, do a lesson, end up with a nice meditation, send them home feeling good, and I don't feel rushed. That's
mm-hmm.
my personal feeling, And but I don't, boy, I mean, Jesus says at one point you could easily spend hours meditating and get nothing out of it, and spend one moment with God and totally change. So I think it's mostly, I would say, it goes down to the moderator, the person facilitating. What is your purpose? I think someone could say, look, I want to put together a 30-minute Course in Miracles where we just get together and heal or something, and see. And it may end up going to 90 minutes. they find out, you need more time. But my personal feeling is always it's on a healing. So I don't think it's the time. Like I say, personally, I find 90 minutes works for me. And that's why, I guess if it works for others, that's great. But I don't think there's any set. I think, you know, as Jesus said, where two or more minds are gathered. And so it's the purpose is the healing, the purpose is the coming together. And time then becomes an illusion.
Well, and that is our purpose right now. Michelle wrote in and she said, just wanted to thank you and Jerry very much for this evening's seminar. Very enjoyable and valuable and very much appreciated. Much love and blessings to you both. And let me just mention a few things. It's time for us to close out here. I'm going to say a prayer in a moment. I'll ask you to say one, Jerry.
Okay.
And I just want to remind people that we are creating an archive, so this is our second call, and we're going for one call a month right now, right now, and to look for the Facebook group, Course in Miracles Study Group Leaders at Facebook. Anyone is welcome to join, and as more and more people do, then we can have a space where people can mentor each other and answer questions. And the whole idea is to inspire more people to start study groups.
Yeah.
So, Jerry, if you would.
Okay, so we open up our hearts and our minds to the healing presence of God's Holy Spirit. We thank Father, Mother, God for all the great teachers who are out there, the teachers who lead classes, also the teachers in our personal lives. We realize we are constantly learning and healing, and we thank Father, Mother, God for making it so easy to remember who we are and to get back to God. Thank you, Father, Mother, God, and all of us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us, Jerry. I love and appreciate you. I'm so glad we got to meet at the Course in Miracles Conference in Chicago. Thank you, everybody who's listening. And start those groups. Power up.
Have fun. Have fun. Good night.
Okay. Good night.